Hey, it's December 2nd, 2017. This is Beginner's Puck, a podcast for hockey fans, both new and old.
Hey, Erica.
Hey, Deb.
You're back in Edmonton.
Oh my God, I'm at home.
You were gone for so long. I mean, part of it is like awesome because you were here with me. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is like you were just in other parts of the country doing things with other people who were not me.
That's true. That is true. I did see other people. I saw so many other people. And other people, if you are listening, I love you and thank you for spending time with me. But good Lord, what, that was a lot of people, a lot of things, a lot of places in a short time. I am absolutely fried and very happy to be back in my little podcast studio with my little hockey puck collection, which is much bigger now that I'm back from traveling. And yes, I am a happy camper.
I'm happy too, because it means we can like talk about hockey more. It's mm-hmm. really hard to podcast when you're on the road like that.
It really
the
is.
Tells
unless
things.
Unless you're literally on the road together.
I know, in a car.
Yep.
That was fun. I did enjoy that.
Super fun. And
if you have not listened to our last episode or our crossover episode with Hockey Feels, we did our last podcast in a car,
mm-hmm.
Going to a New Jersey Devils game, playing the Edmonton Oilers, which the Oilers won.
Yes.
That was so long ago. What was that like? I don't remember what winning is like.
It was tense as can be. That's what it was like.
Yeah. But we'll get back to that later. Mm-hmm. So you saw a little bit more hockey on your journeys, I understand,
did.
From the Twitters and the social media. So what mm-hmm. else did you see while you were traveling these great United States?
Well, I was visiting the Midwest for part of my trip, because that is where my family is from, and that's where I used to live before I moved to the great white frozen north of Edmonton. So it had always sort of been in the plan for months to go see an AHL game in Milwaukee. To go see the Milwaukee Admirals, which is a team that I lived for about 30 years in the neighborhood and never, ever went to see them. I knew they were there, but I didn't know. I couldn't have even told you what league they were in. I didn't really become a hockey fan until just before I moved. So I missed out on all of those years that I could have been watching them. Yep. But yeah, so that was always in the works. But as time got closer and we were sort of figuring out exactly which city we would be in on which day, because we were going to be visiting my sister in Chicago and my brother in Madison and my parents in the Milwaukee area, and Stephen, my lovely spouse, realized that it was only about our 20-minute drive south from Madison to get to Rockford, which is the home of the Rockford Ice Hogs, which is another AHL team. And he was like, hey, you know, they have a game on that Sunday that we're going to be there. How about we drive down to Rockford and go see the Ice Hogs? And I was like, how about yes? So that was actually our first AHL experience, even though it wasn't the one that had been planned the earliest. So yeah, we drove down there and it was so much fun. Oh my God. Deb, you've been to AHL games, right?
I actually have not.
You need to go.
I've been to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms Stadium Arena,
mm-hmm.
Which is the Flyers AHL affiliate, but it was a preseason game that was held there. So a lot of the players who are now on the Phantoms were playing, because, you know, when they do the preseason games, they just kind of everybody in the mix. They haven't made their final cuts yet. So mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of the AHL players play.
Gotcha.
But I've not been to a Lehigh Valley Phantoms game. It was funny because I was looking at the schedule today thinking, yeah, I should go up there and see something. They're only an hour away. But no, I haven't. So tell me about your experience.
It was super fun. And I think it might have helped that this is an AHL team that's pretty close to the NHL team that they are the farm team for. They're actually the farm team for the Chicago Blackhawks. And Rockford is not terribly far away. It's driving distance, easy driving distance from Chicago. It was like, I've been to a bunch of WHL games, which is, you know, the very, very junior leagues in Canada. It's like a kind of a step down. So this definitely felt sort of like more big league than that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it didn't feel like quite the spectacle that an NHL game has. You know, there's a lot of like shininess to an NHL game. And this was just, it was more like every single person that was there was really excited to be there. Like, they didn't get the tickets from a contest. Probably some people maybe did. They didn't get the tickets from, like, you know, their boss, and they were going to a business meeting in some fancy suite or something like that. Like, these were people that were just, like, really excited to come and watch some hockey. And it kind of felt like, I don't know, going to, like, the homecoming game in high school or something, where you just got all of these people and the excitement and I don't know, just the feeling in the air was very, very just family-like and fun. And they had the local Discovery World or Discovery something or other was doing science demonstrations during the breaks. So you could see, like, from our seats, we could actually see where they were doing them. It was kind of behind the glass on one end. This stadium... The arena was originally built, I think, for basketball. So the sight lines are kind of weird at one end of the rink, and there's, like, a place for like tables and stuff. So they had this woman there who kept doing these, like, she was, like, lighting things on fire and blowing things up. It was amazing. It was just, like, it's really, really cool. So yeah, it was really fun, and we got to see the home team win in, I can't remember if it was overtime or if it went to a shootout. May have actually gone to a shootout. It was pretty intense, and they were playing the Chicago Wolves, who are the farm team for both the St. Louis Blues and the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So
that's not too weird.
Yeah, it was like there were three NHL teams who had a stake in what was happening in that building, and yeah, it was just good hockey. It was really fun.
Yeah, I've always, my impression has of, like, AHL hockey has been very similar to sort of minor league baseball, where it's just a little hokier. Mm-hmm. It's a little, the players are more in touch with the community. Mm-hmm. Because, first of all, they're not making nearly the NHL salary. So, like, they're living there and, you know, going to Applebee's and whatever, yep, whatever real people do who don't make multi-million dollars a year. But I know, and when you get down to the ECHL level, I had to laugh because we have, we're very, very fortunate that in Philadelphia, for the Flyers, our AHL and ECHL teams are all within an hour, 10 minutes of Philadelphia, like, wow, within driving. So that makes it really easy to move people around. You get down to the ECHL level, which is a level below AHL, like, these players are coming home with fans for dinner. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just being mothered by the community, and they have little booster groups, you know, that to welcome the new players when they come in, to make sure they have pots and pans and their condos or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's really, you know, because the ECHL guys are making nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's adorable. So I guess the further away you get from the NHL, the more grounded in the community the players are, and just a little hokier, you know. You have the VFW post out there doing stuff. Yeah, it's fun.
Yep. And then the Milwaukee Admirals game, we got to see them play the Cleveland Monsters, which Monsters is what a great mascot. Yeah. That was just awesome. Cleveland is the farm team for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Steven was very excited to go to this game because the Admirals are actually the farm team for the Nashville Predators. And so Steven got to wear his Nashville Predators jersey, which was really cool. There were a lot of them. Steven was like, oh, I might be the only one wearing a Nashville jersey. Nope, not at all. There were tons.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There was actually even a really cool one that was like, it looked like a Predators jersey, but it had the Admirals, like, logo on the front of it. It was like a cool crossover one. So that was kind of neat. We looked in the merch store, and it's their third jersey now, and used to be a logo a while ago, that is this little skeleton guy with like an Admiral like cap, like a sailing hat of an Admiral tricorn, I guess you'd call it. And he has taken off one of his legs, and he is using that leg as a hockey stick to try to hit a puck. And he just has this, it's like a very cartoony looking skeleton face. And it's just, it is adorable. And I love that logo. And I really wanted to get something with that on it, but they only had like one hoodie or something that had that. And I didn't want to spend that much. I didn't need a hoodie. So sadly, I didn't get that logo on anything, but I'm going to keep my eye out for it because that would be pretty cool.
Well, here's the question. Did you get pucks from the AHL arenas?
We decided not to. So Stephen and I are collecting a puck from every NHL rink that we go to. And we had to order on eBay to backfill for like the first two rinks that we went to before we made that decision. And they were waiting for me at my mom's house because it's cheaper to ship stuff to the United States. So our puck collection for all of the NHL arenas that we have been to is now up to date. But we kind of wanted it to be different for AHL. So actually what we did is we're getting keychains from each of the AHL places. So we actually found a keychain with a mini puck on it with the Rockford Ice Hogs logo. So we've got that for in Rockford. And in Milwaukee, we got a little keychain that's got like, you may have seen them. They're like squat little hockey player guys that are wearing the logo and the outfit of the team. I think that they're creepy looking and weird, and I really didn't want it, but Steven was so excited I couldn't say no. So that's the one we got.
Oh, all right. I'll let you go. I'm definitely doing pucks. I'm doing pucks. If you have a puck with a logo on it, I'm there. I'm gonna have a wall of pucks. It's gonna be great. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And then you came home.
Mm-hmm.
Which home is lovely. It's wonderful. But you're home in Edmonton.
Yep.
And things aren't been going really great. And I really can't say anything because, Philadelphia, coincidentally, this time last year, we were on a streak. We were on a 10-game winning streak.
Oh, that's right.
We are also currently in the middle of a streak. However, it is a 9-game losing streak.
Ouch.
It has been woofers here, let me tell you. The local media has smelled blood in the water.
Uh-oh.
Well, so yeah, the sharks are circling. I don't think it's as bad as from what I can gather that the Edmonton media has been towards your team. But yeah, there's been, you know, our players, the last game they played, were booed off the ice by
own fans. Well, it is Philadelphia.
It's Philadelphia. We love passionately. Mm-hmm. We love passionately. And yeah, it just, there were chants of fire Hackstall, which has sort of been, that has been the refrain lately. So it's not been good. The mood around here has been pretty dismal when it comes to hockey. And that's, I guess, one thing I want to touch on, because last year, coming into it and being a relative newbie to hockey, like, I was just rolling with it. I was so excited. You know, the winning streak was really exciting, but I knew that we were sort of in a building year. We had some young rookies that were on the team, and it felt like we weren't there yet, but there was confidence that we were getting there. We're moving in the right direction. So even though we didn't make the playoffs, you know, there were some good runs in betwixt and between, but that was okay because we were building. And this year, you know, we got the number 2 draft picked, and it just felt like we were a little bit further along that path. Maybe, definitely, I would never have said that we were in contention for a cup race. But, you know, making the first round of the playoffs was not too lofty a goal, and that's slipping away rapidly. And it just, that hasn't come to fruition this year. So, and I know, looking at the rankings, there's a lot of teams that we had all expected to be much higher than they were, who are not. Yours, one of them. Pittsburgh, Buffalo. I had high hopes for Buffalo as well. There's a lot of teams kind of lingering down around the bottom. And I guess, like, how do you reconcile, like, loving a team when it's going through something horrible? Like, what is it? Like I said, Philadelphia was booed off the ice, and that's just high emotion. Do you know what I mean? Like, people aren't turning in their tickets or burn, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's burning their jerseys. It just, people are upset. They just don't know what to do. So, like, how do you weather the storm? Like, what's it like? I feel like, you know, you've been an Edmonton fan through some bad years. Mm-hmm. So talk to me, oh wise one. What does one do to get through the lean times?
You know, it's interesting because I grew up a Packers fan in like the late 80s and 90s. So all I kind of knew when I was just learning about sports was what it was like to root for a crappy team. Like, that's my roots, man. That's where I come from. Mm-hmm. So when I first got here and Edmonton had like this, you know, way back in the past sort of glory that had not shone through recently, like, it just felt really natural to me. And then suddenly they started winning. And I have to admit, like, I was always a little bit pessimistic about it. I mean, I was happy, but like I kind of felt like this isn't going to last, because that was how it was as a Packers fan when, like, you know, you'd get a quarterback like Don Majkowski and they'd be like, they'd nickname him Magic, and like, yeah, he's the guy that's going to turn everything around. And no, that did not happen at all. And so I think I was just burned too many times, and I had kind of stopped watching the NFL by the time we actually got a Brett Favre and an Aaron Rodgers who did take them to the Super Bowl, that I was just sort of like stuck in this, like, I hate to give advice that's just to like lower your expectations as low as you possibly can, but that is,
like, listen,
it's legitimately a good strategy.
Philadelphia, right? I mean, yes, our football team is like killing it this year, but it's been lean. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is and somebody quipped, and I agree, I think it was probably Mary Clark, quipped that, you know, the Eagles and the Sixers are draining the life force from the Flyers so they can be so good. And I'm like, that makes so much sense. So, I mean, I understand that. Mm-hmm. And I just, the frustration level of when you think, like, what can they do to make this better? And I think now that I'm a little bit more knowledgeable about the game, that's sort of the frustration that I'm finding, is like, I don't see an easy solution. Like, how mm-hmm. how do you turn around a team that's in a slump? And you've got skilled players there. You've got players that can do the job. So mm-hmm. what needs to change? Is it the players that need to change? Is it the coaching staff that needs to change? Is it the GM that needs to change? Like, what's going to pull them out of the skid? Like, that's the frustrating part of, like, mm-hmm. you have all the right pieces. Why aren't they working together?
And I will tell you that many, many people on Twitter and many talking head pundits think that they know the answer and are shy about saying it. But you know what? If it was that easy to figure out, no teams would ever go through slumps, because they would be able to, you know, the coaching staff would be able to figure out what the problem is and turn it around and pick it back up. It's just there are so many ineffable pieces to any kind of sports, but that, you know, all of those things that you said, it could be any one of those. It could be any combination of those. And it's going to be different for each team at each time. And I think the thing that I remind myself of pretty often these days is that each one of those players are trying. Like, I don't think that there's, you know, in rare circumstances, sometimes I do watch somebody and think, huh, he's not trying as hard as he should be. And maybe there's a good reason for that, too. And maybe that's a thing that actually needs to change. But yeah, like, I just try to remind myself, they're good hockey boys, Deb. They're all good hockey boys. And they are playing their hearts out. It's just that those, you know, the pieces are not coming together the way that they should. And in our case, I think it's kind of similar to you guys as well. Like, last year was really supposed to be more of a rebuilding year, like, or a building year, you know, building around Connor McDavid. And nobody, including the management of the Oilers, as they have said, expected the Oilers to do as well as they did. I think Peter Chiarelli was saying he was aiming for getting the team around 85 points or something like that at the end of the year, 85 games, but or maybe it was 85 points. And they ended up at 100, I believe, or like 101, something like that. Really, like, much, much better. They outperformed sort of what the management had expected. And I think that I don't want to say that I wish they hadn't done quite as well, because it was so fun. It was a great ride. But if it had been more of like a linear progression rather than like just jumping up so high and doing so much better than expected, I wonder if that kind of threw them off a little bit. And this, you know, it's not, you don't get to just suddenly become really great and then just stay that way over a summer off. Like, it doesn't work that way. You have to start over, and you really do have to keep working hard, starting sort of, you know, from scratch each new game. And
right,
it hasn't happened.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what is going to happen there. As we record this, it's Friday evening. This will be dropping on the 2nd, and they're playing Boston at home. It's an afternoon game. Statistically, we don't do really well in the afternoons.
Neither do we.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. So I just don't know how drastic of a turn do you take. Do you know what I mean? And we saw... We even saw this earlier in the season with Arizona. I mean, Arizona couldn't buy a win. You know what I mean? Like, they just could not win at all until they played us. They got their first win. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Of only four, though.
Yeah, this is true. But there's still, you know, there's a different feeling with Arizona than there was with, say, the Colorado Avalanche last year, because Colorado mm-hmm. had that whole issue with the very uncomfortable issue with Matt Duchene. They were, management was talking about trading him. It got to the point where he said, okay, fine, trade me already. You know what I mean? And that mm-hmm. just, that causes a tension. And it did not feel like that team was giving it their all. Do you know what I mean? And,
yep.
and I think in sports, and sportscasters had said the same thing. If you talk, any, you know, broadcasters mm-hmm. last year were talking about, it just did not seem like they were putting the effort out. That's not the case with Arizona. Arizona is getting out there every night, and mm-hmm. they're trying their hardest, and it's very, very evident that they are. They're just not, it's not come together yet. They're not getting the breaks. So
yeah, I'm looking at the standings, and yeah, Arizona's goal differential is minus 35.
Yeah, it's not good. And it, but yet you see those players out there every night just mm-hmm. killing themselves trying to get the win. So, and there's been a couple of games with Philadelphia where they've just been really sluggish, and just like, they're just like pylons. You know what I mean? They're just kind of standing there and not really moving. And there's like this sense of desolation. And I'm just wondering, like, how do you kick that out? Is it something as drastic as changing a coach? Would changing a coach now make any difference? And that's sort of a question that came up today. I was reading an article in The Athletic that Charlie O'Connor wrote. And, you know, do you ride this out and then change at the end of the year? Or, you know, if how does that, how would that affect the room? You know, how would it affect the players? Or would it be the kick that it needs? I mean, Boston did it last year and got rid of Claude Julien before the season was over. And, you know, and they kind of rallied around and came back a little bit. So, you know, and there just seems to be this coach go round every year, and mm-hmm. then a coach will move on, and sometimes we'll wash out and sometimes we'll step up. I mean, I'm talking about teams that are surprising us, because at the beginning of the year, we talked about other teams that we were looking at and we're kind of keeping our eye on, because I tend to be, I love my home team, don't get me wrong, but there's, mm-hmm. I enjoy watching a lot of other teams play. Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, there was a coach that was, fired at the end of an away game.
That's right.
And had to, they did call him a car, like that, the sad pictures of him standing there, holding all his possessions, waiting for a cab outside the arena are sort of like, misleading. So Gerard Gallant was let go from Florida Panthers. He is killing it in Vegas. You know what I mean? Like that mm-hmm. situation is just really working, because that's, who would have thought that?
Not me.
As of earlier today, when I was looking at the standings before all the games were played tonight, I mean, they were second mm-hmm. in their division. They were first very briefly for a few days. Yeah. So, and
their division being our division.
I know. I'm so sorry, but.
They were supposed to be the team we could beat.
I remember saying this distinctly, like after the expansion draft, like this isn't the team that they're hoping to win with. This is the team they're hoping to trade bits and pieces away to get the team that they want 2 years or 3 years from now. Who knew? They're killing it. I mean, they lost tonight pretty spectacularly, but it wasn't a rout. Mm-hmm. they came back in the end against Winnipeg. I think the final score was like 7-4, but they were ahead and tied, and it wasn't, they're not getting blown out of the water frequently.
Yep. And I will say that they did have that their schedule was a little bit on the soft side for the early, which is, I think, a good thing, because it's a new team. You want to get the fan base riled up. But they were doing so much better than they were supposed to. I will say that we did beat them 8-2. Just being able to beat them in one game does not make up for being way behind them in the standings.
Yeah. And they've won against some tough teams.
Yep.
They're not. Their schedule was definitely favorable in the beginning, because, you want mm-hmm. those wins at home. You want your fan base to jump on board, to be invested, to think that to make all those taxpayers think they made a really good choice mm-hmm. in funding that arena. And they've done that. They've got a great fan base so far. And And there's not horrible players in the team, don't get me wrong, but they're not the top liners, you know what I mean? They mm-hmm. were, you know, sort of your third and fourth line, maybe a second line player mm-hmm. on occasion. I mean, honestly, they're good hockey players, but there's not, with the exception maybe of Marc-Andre Fleury, possibly mm-hmm. James Neal, only because of the Stanley Cup playing for Nashville. Mm-hmm. There's no superstars at all. But and how much of that is the coaching? Because, you know, we talked mm-hmm. about Gerard Gallant being known as a player's coach and pulling that culture together. You know, they've had five goaltenders. They've gone through five goaltenders this yep. season.
And they're still in second place in the division. That's
five.
Nuts.
They pulled a kid up from juniors, mm-hmm. you know, like 19 years old. In fact, he was playing Edmonton because there was a picture that was going around for that game. I forget that showed his. I forget which junior team he was playing for. Mm-hmm. God, what was the kid's name? I have it written down. Dylan Ferguson, who's 19, playing goalie in the NHL. Like that doesn't happen.
That's yeah.
He still had his junior hockey mask on yep. because he like literally came out the day and there was one sort of play at the net and you know when it was called dead, you know Connor McDavid kind of tapped him on the shins. You know yes. what I mean? Like doing a good job there, kid, oh. because. How intimidating is that? Mm-hmm. Not only are you playing in your first NHL game, you're playing against Connor McDavid. You know?
Yep.
That's, yeah. That was pretty cool that he did that.
So sweet.
I know, but they've had, you know, God, Marc-Andre Fleury still isn't back. Mm-mm. And Malcolm Subban and Oscar Dansk and Maxime, was it Lagasse? I think it's Lagasse.
I think so.
Five goaltenders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What are they doing right that we're not doing? That's what I want to know.
Maybe we do need to get our goalies hurt. I don't know.
No, don't ours, say that.
Well, ours is.
Yours yeah. is. Yours
Cam
is
Talbot is out. I don't know how many games he's on IR, which is sad and scary. So, yeah. So yes.
Who is your backup? I mean, I know who you're.
Our backup is, oh my God, I'm totally blanking.
To say like where are you pulling from? I guess.
No. We have actually a pretty good backup, Brossois, Laurent Brossois. Right. I call him Suave, and he's actually the thing is he doesn't get a chance to play very much because I don't know if you recall Cam Talbot played like 72 games last
yeah.
year, 73 yeah. something like that. Lots and lots of games. Like Cam Talbot is a machine. He's better the more he plays. So we didn't really get to see a lot from Brossois last season or much this season, except for, you know, there's a back-to-back. Sometimes Cam Talbot will play it. Sometimes he won't. So he's, you know, like he's kind of a cipher a little bit just because we haven't gotten to see too much. And I think he's not performing as well as people would have liked, but I don't think he was that bad. I mean, last night's game, he stopped, I don't remember how many shots. It was a lot. It wasn't all of them. It wasn't enough to win, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And actually one of those shots came from one of our players. So.
Oh, that hurt.
That was really painful. Yeah.
That really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You never like to see that, especially yeah. in the last, what, under 2 minutes of the game?
It was under, yeah, it was tied. The game was tied. And then yeah. we scored on ourselves. So. Oops.
That's not
But, you
good.
Know, that was Chris Russell, and he had actually scored one of the goals earlier in the game, so I figure, you know, it evens out.
That's right? A good way to look at
that's
it.
That's how that works?
Sure. Totally evens out. Absolutely.
Oy vey. Poor guy.
Well, who would you pull up from the AHL as his backup?
They pulled up Ellis, I can't remember the kid's first name, who I watched in the preseason and I quite liked. Actually, there were three goalies in the preseason that I really liked, and Ellis was one of them. And I can't remember the names of the other two, but I would have been happy with any of them. So, I mean, there was a little part of me that was like, you know, I shouldn't root to see Ellis go in, but I quite liked him in the preseason. I liked him. Enough to actually want to be able to see what he can do, but oh
yeah.
Well,
maybe that's what you need. Just mm-hmm. a shakeup. Some kind of a shakeup. I thought we were going to get that when Andrew McDonald was injured, and we thought, oh, because everybody's been talking about how terrible Andrew McDonald is for that big giant contract that he has. who knew him leaving the team would start our downward slide. I'm not saying that it's Andrew McDonald was the glue holding that team together in any way, shape, or form, but suspicious, I don't know. Oh, yeah. But on the upside, for the first time, well, no, the second time this season, Dallas is in the wild card slot because they were kind of on a little downward trajectory as well, which, as my secondary backup boyfriend team, makes me happy because there were another team that came in with huge high hopes, with Radulov moving down from Montreal, and they traded for Mark Mathot from Vegas. It just seemed like lots of pieces were slotting together. The question more so was the coaching style, because Hitchcock took over from Lindy Ruff. And there's been a little question. They haven't been able to settle that top line because something that we've experienced here in Philadelphia, it seemed most of the scoring was coming from the top line. So they keep moving Tyler Seguin around to try to create some more depth scoring, I guess. And that seems to be the case. They actually won on the road, which everybody knows Dallas doesn't win on the road. What? You can't do that. So they won their last two games. So they have picked up pace a little bit, but it was the dad's trip. So the dads went with them to Vegas and then to Chicago, and they won both games. So I'm wondering, do you just take the dads every week? Is that what it took? Did it need that little bit of spark, knowing your dads or your mentors or whatever were in the, I don't know. That's, what is that intangible thing that turns it around? That's what I want to know.
I wish I knew. I think they all wish they knew.
That's true. All right. Maybe our listeners would know. What do they think? It's the intangible thing.
If our listeners knew, they would be making millions working for hockey teams. So no offense, listeners.
We all have opinions. No, but come on. This is why we talk about sports, because we all have opinions. We're all armchair coaches and GMs. And that's the fun of it, right? That's why you play GM mode in NHL.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, if I could ever figure out how to do it, I totally would. That's all I would do. I keep buying the games. I just don't actually play them.
That's adorable.
It's a thing. What can I say? All right. What do you think? I think we've talked enough about sad things.
I think you're right. Yes.
I think we need to move this on to our next segment.
Heck yeah.
So I've got something new.
Ooh,
we are not going to do a beginner's puck, what the puck segment. We have a brand new segment, and it's called Say What Now? So, Erica, are you ready to hear some confusing hockey lingo?
Ooh, am I ever.
Okay. So, when we first started talking about creating this podcast, we had a couple different categories we wanted to slot into the segment. You know, our What the Puck was sort of general hockey knowledge, and then hashtag old hockey was to talk about some historical things that interest us. We really should get back to that as well. And then there was Say What Now, and Say What Now was something I thought was really important because I listen to a lot of hockey broadcasts. I listen to Sirius XM NHL a lot, because I'm in my car a lot. I listen to hockey podcasts. I watch On the Fly on the NHL Network. I just, there's hockey is constantly running in the back of my head. And hockey broadcasters say some of the craziest things. And I'm not talking about Daryl Raiser, who is the announcer for Dallas Stars, because he's at a whole nother level, people. I would never bring you a Raiserism, because I don't even think he knows what he's saying half the time.
He's in a class all his own. And it's a very entertaining class.
Oh, it's great. I love listening to him call games because I just never know what's going to come out of his mouth. But these are things that I have heard from legitimate hockey analysts and broadcasters, not outliers and on podcasts. This has either been on the radio or has been on the NHL Network.
Okay.
Yes, I'm thinking that's all I'm drawing from. Mm-hmm. So that I've heard recently that I'm like, okay, I know what that is. I think I know what that is. And sometimes I did know what it is only because I listened to a lot of hockey stuff. But I'm thinking a new hockey fan might be a little confused at some of these terminologies. And honestly, maybe a sort of more experienced hockey fan might be a little confused with some of this terminology. So what I thought I would do is I wrote a bunch of them down, and I would quiz you.
Ooh.
And see if you knew what some of these are. And I think some of them you're gonna get right away, and others might be a little more confusing. So, all right. So our first one that has been it's been talked about a lot, and I think you'll get this one.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, Deb. I hate
no,
that.
No, I know for a fact that you're going to get this because something that we've talked about recently.
Okay.
I have to preface this a little bit that some of these sound really, really filthy, like super, super dirty, but they're really not. But I can see where this could maybe be a beginner's puck after dark, just from some of these terms. All right. So, for example, the first term is riding the hot hands.
You know, the only reason I know what this is because we did talk about it recently. I had not heard that. Or if I had, it had just like scooted right by me and I just didn't notice it. But so I do know what it is, and it's just being on a streak that you are doing great with your puck work, with your stick handling, right?
It's true, I guess technically, but it's most often, I have heard it most often used in reference to goaltenders.
See, I knew that as soon as you said, I know you're going to get this, that I was going to get it wrong. That is how this works.
Right. So with goalies, it's again, do you play a goalie back to back, or do you play, how long do you play your goalie until you put your secondary, your backup goalie is? And the conversation is a lot of coaches like to ride the hot hands or to keep running the winning goalie and keeping him in goal until that goalie is not winning, and then they'll switch them out, or if there's an injury or fatigue or something. But
I suppose it makes more sense for it to be a goalie, considering that they can actually literally catch the puck in their gloved
there you go,
hands,
in the hot hands.
I wonder if that's more of an Americanism or if it's just like something that I just have missed somehow, because I listen to a lot fewer hockey podcasts than you do.
In fact it's funny because I hear it a lot, but I heard it this week from Patrick O'Sullivan, who is a former hockey player who's an analyst on a commentator on NHL radio on Sirius. Huh. So, yeah. So maybe it started with the players and kind of leaked into hockey vernacular. I don't know. If anybody knows, let us know, because
listen
to it. All right. This was one that I had to think about a little bit. So let's see if you can get this one. Rolling with an 11-7.
Rolling with an 11-7. Okay, it sounds like a term that's like based on gambling or something. Is that like a crap score?
It is not.
Okay, all right. That was that was my first guess. I don't 11-7. Mm-hmm. 11. Well, I mean, 7-Eleven is where you can get a Slurpee, but if I flip that around,
you're being
way too literal
with this. All right, this was used in the context of how a coach was setting his lines. So typically, I would say 99.9% of the times, at least that I'm aware of, you roll with, 12 offensive players and 6 defensive players. And sometimes, apparently, a coach will roll with 11 offensive players and 7 defensive players. So they're putting 7 D-men on their roster for that night. Now, lines... when you look at a line, there's a center, there's a left wing, and there's a right wing. And I think we talked about this in an earlier podcast, what that meant, matching lines. And the way the game is played, you'll start up with a lineup, but like players don't come out in threes. They come out like in onesies, twosies sort of thing. So it doesn't mean that a defenseman is necessarily going to be playing on a line with offensemen. It just means that they want the option of having that extra defenseman there.
Interesting. I suppose in some cases it might come up too if they've had a lot of injuries and they're best players, like the team is actually better served by having an extra defenseman because maybe they have a higher scoring defense player, which would be better for the team than trotting out some 19-year-old kid from the boonies, from the farm team. So that could be a thing. But I have to feel like it would be a little bit tough to find a good rhythm in your offensive lines if they're going to constantly having to be sort of like changing to to juggle to account for the fact that you're sort of, you know, one person short on one of those lines at any given time.
I don't ever remember seeing it being played, but they were discussing it. They were discussing it one night on NHL radio. So I wrote that down because I'm like, rolling with an 11-7. What?
I feel like I've definitely heard of that happening. I just had not heard the term for it before.
Right. All right. So here's another one. Scored a shorty.
I'm assuming that's just scoring a shorthanded goal. So a goal when your team is killing a penalty.
Yep. And killing a penalty is?
That is when one of your players has been a bad boy and gets sent to the penalty box, and your team is now down one player. So you only get to have four skaters on the ice instead of five. The other team still has five. So they are on what's called the power play. You are on what's called the penalty kill. And it's rare, it's pretty rare that somebody actually has enough access to the puck and is able to get out of their zone when they're outnumbered by one man. But sometimes it happens and you can get down the ice, especially if you're somebody fast, like say Connor McDavid. You know, once you get a breakaway, there's a decent chance that that somebody's going to score if they're going straight at the goalie.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So when you score a shorty, it means you scored a shorthanded goal. All right, here we go. That slapper lit the lamp. I swear
again,
to God.
Sounds dirty.
Hockey people, right? Like all of this stuff could be like in some really low rent porn. But yes, okay. That slapper lit the lamp.
All right, well, I'm going to take it piece by piece here. I'm going to say that slapper probably means a slap shot. So
yes,
I'm going to guess that it has to do with a slap shot. And I'm not entirely sure exactly what lit the lamp means. I mean, obviously it's a good, I would think it's a good thing because light, you know, generally people like light. So maybe hitting a goalie right in the head with a slap shot?
No, getting a goal.
Just scoring? Okay.
It's scoring and having the little light. The score light go off.
Oh, of course. Duh, the goal light.
Yep. Lit the lamp. There you go.
Sometimes you also hear people saying, like, you know, they really lit him up, like that goalie. You know, they really lit the goalie up. So that makes perfect sense. It fits right in.
Fits right in. They could have just said, oh, he scored with a slap shot. But no, the slapper
not as
lit
fun,
the lamp.
Deb.
That's not as fun, I guess so. All right. And here is my final one. He's an offensive defenseman with a surprising slapper.
Oh, that's fun.
All right, so let's parse this one out.
All right, so I'm guessing offensive defenseman, which kind of like what I was just saying before, if you are forced to field more defensemen than usual. If you have an offensive defenseman, that would be a defensive player who is known for scoring and who pinches in toward the goal, to the opposing goal a lot and really just tries to score.
So think Brent Burns, who last year was for a period of time was in like the top six goal scorers in the NHL, and he's a defensive player. So he would be an offensive defenseman. And we're not talking offensive like that beard. We're just talking the way he plays.
I thought you were going to go for the man bun. But yeah, there's
no. Oh, thank God November's over, right? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So let's finish this out. The offensive defenseman with a surprising slapper.
I'm going to guess that slapper again means slap shot. So
yes.
I guess I'm not entirely sure what would be surprising about an offensive defenseman having a slap shot, but maybe somebody was surprised by that.
I guess. Maybe it's not a typical shot for a defenseman.
I'm trying to think of which player it is, but we have somebody who quite often will do slap shots like from the point. And then just, you know, wail at the net. And, you know, it's not so much like, it would be great if the puck goes in the net, but it's more to just like get the puck toward the net. And, you know, you're hoping for a rebound where a closer player will be able to then deflect it in. But But I like that. I like that sentence.
Yeah. It made me laugh, I have to admit. So, So those are my say what nows, which
that is a great
just
segment.
A reaction.
I'm totally taking notes as I watch hockey in the future because we need to do more of this.
Yeah, you have to. You just have to listen to and I know part of it is the lingo. And if you really ever want to be amused, there's all sorts of websites out there that have hockey slang. And there's actually a web series. It's not really a web series. It's sort of a comedy duo of these two comic actor type people who have taken on personas of hockey players who do little segments with professional NHL players. And it's called On the Bench, I believe. And they're on Instagram and YouTube. And we'll put a link to it. And they very much over the top talk about, use hockey lingo. So it's, we're going to go over the fundies of how to do something with the corns and the twigs. And I don't even know what half of this stuff is, but everything has a Y on the end of it. And it's very, very funny. It's very amusing. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. But yeah, so if you ever want to be amused, look up something about hockey slang. A lot of it is not used in the NHL. A lot of it is much more junior hockey, younger kids. And if you talk to NHL players, like, yeah, we don't say a lot of that stuff anymore. We did when we were kids, but we don't say a lot of that stuff anymore.
They all grow up.
And now you have people like Claude Giroux, who calls people pigeons and things, which always makes me laugh whenever I see those clips. Yeah. So language is evolving and strange and wonderful and weird. And there's lots of strange hockey things in there. But yeah, this is fun.
Well, Deb, do you have a hockey tidbit to close us out with?
I do. Yay. All right. This is a really personal hockey tidbit, because as I posted on Twitter today and linked to in the Beginner's Puck Twitter account, today being December 1st, not the day you're listening to this or it comes out, I was very, very selfish and bought myself, in lieu of buying the family, which I always do every year, an advent calendar. And I very selfishly bought myself a Playmobil advent calendar, which very selfishly is the NHL Playmobil calendar. So it is adorable, and it's sweet, and it has hockey players, little Playmobil hockey players, and the Santa Claus is the ref, and he's like wearing a little striped shirt under his suit. And oh my gosh, I opened up the first window today, and it's a little hockey dude holding a stick, and he's on this sort of little mount that has a retractable button that makes his stick swing back and forth. So I'm assuming, because I did not peek, I'm assuming that in future days I will get a puck that I can then have my little hockey guy do. So it's sweet and it's adorable. And every day I'm going to be posting a photo of what was behind the window of that day. So yeah, it's fun.
Check out Beginner's Puck, at Beginner's Puck on Twitter.
And then today, Playmobil sent me an email with more Playmobil hockey stuff. I can't go there.
Oh no, Deb, it's a slippery slope.
Nope, not going there, because I know somebody that has a Lego baseball field on their dining room table.
Oh my God. Although so. I do have to say, I have seen the Playmobil Zamboni in like NHL shops. Mm-hmm. It is the cutest thing ever. That's the one thing that I would be almost tempted, except I wouldn't because I don't want more stuff. But it's real cute.
All right. You want to know what tempted me? Like, because they have these little cases now that you can, there's a little case and there's a whole little scene inside the case and all your little figures sit inside the case. And it's great if you have kids and you're like taking them places, they can kind of keep everything all together. I'm like, oh, that's nice. But then they had a locker room with a coach and charts. And I was like, it's like they know me. You know what I mean?
I was tempted. God, a tiny dressing room. Okay, that would be pretty amazing too.
Didn't click on the link, but I was tempted. We'll see. if I get to 25 days of my NHL Playmobil hockey advent calendar, there may be more in my future. Maybe. So that's my hockey tidbit for
today. Wow, that was a really great tidbit to close out the episode. Excellent work, Deb.
Well, this has been fun. I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad we can record more. Hopefully both of our teams will get out of the slump. Hopefully no one will get fired and or injured, unless they really deserve it. The firing, that is, not the injuring. Nobody deserves to be injured. And can we just bow our heads for a moment and remember Brad Malone? We had him but for a brief shining moment in Edmonton.
Yep.
And now he's back at the AHL where he got the goal.
Maybe someday he'll be back.
But he did get the goal to get the teddy bears tossed onto the ice.
He sure did. Bless his heart.
He's living his best life right now.
Yep. We love you, Brad.
We love you. You have been listening to Beginner's Puck, where hockey is for everyone, especially for you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at beginnerspuck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.